Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we started the chapter on the severe prohibition of devouring the wealth of an orphan. And we are explaining that when a person is a guardian and he has the money or the wealth of an orphan, and we explain who an orphan is, that boy or girl who's nabaligh and his father has passed away. Not mother, but father has passed away. And when that boy or girl now becomes baligh, they no longer remain a yatim. So this chapter is speaking about the severe prohibition of devouring the wealth of an orphan. A person must be extremely careful. The temptation will be there. A person is a guardian of a very wealthy orphan. Now the temptation is there that I can make a quick buck on the side, that I got all this capital at my disposal, let me do some investments and I can make some money. Remember the principle that we did yesterday from the ayat of the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. Allah Ta'ala knows that person who means mischief. Here mischief means Allah knows that person who in his heart he's got some type of personal interest. He's got his own personal interest in mind when he's using the wealth of the orphan. If a person is using that wealth of the orphan, as we explained, for some permissible investment, for example, he wants to put it into some property or he wants to buy some gold coins and keep it for the yatim. So when the child grows up, the investment would be much higher, the value will be much higher, and he's sure that there'll be no loss in this. Inshallah, he's quite certain that there'll be no loss in this, then there's no harm. Why? Because now he's doing it purely out of the interest of this child. He doesn't want to just leave it in cash. After 20 years, 30 years, that money won't be worth too much. So this person is doing it purely for the interest of the child. Wallahu ya'lamu al-mufsida min al-muslih. Allah Ta'ala knows those who mean mischief, those who have got their own interest in mind against those who mean good. Those who mean good, Allah Ta'ala knows what's in their heart. So therefore, a person should always keep this overriding principle that I must act in the interest of this yatim. So this is something that we've got to keep in mind, and the rule extends to everything else where a person is acting in a fiduciary duty. He's acting in a fiduciary capacity on behalf of anybody else. He may be a treasurer of a masjid, of a madrasa. A person may be a treasurer, or a person may be the in charge of finance of some investment where many people are investing. You should be extremely careful that I got public funds. This was something that our akabir and our elders would be extremely careful of. We'll explain after this hadith one incident of one of our great akabir, how they would be so careful that public funds, we mustn't take any personal benefit from it. So today there's one hadith under this chapter. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought one hadith under this chapter, but this one hadith is sufficient. This is the beauty of the muhaddithin. They'll bring one hadith, and a person of intelligence, this one hadith is sufficient. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, ijtanibu sab'a al-mubiqat. Qalu ya Rasulallah, wa ma hunna? Qala, ash-shirku billah, wa sihru, wa qatlu al-nafs allati harram Allahu illa bil-haq, wa aklu al-riba, wa aklu mali al-yateem, wa at-tawalli yawm al-zahfi, وقذف المحصنات المؤمنات الغافلات متفق عليه. Whilst we're doing this, I come across seven different categories that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned. After we translate the hadith, we'll explain each category. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Refrain from seven destructive sins." Refrain from seven destructive sins. This word mubiqat means muhlikat, those sins that will destroy you. That's why it's translated as destructive sins. So serious these sins are, these seven sins, that they will destroy you. Rasulullah is saying refrain from them. So Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alim Ajma'in asked, what are they, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala, black magic, killing a person whom Allah Ta'ala has forbidden unless for justice. We'll explain this just now also further. Consuming riba, usury, interest. Consuming the wealth of an orphan. This part ties up with this chapter. Consuming the wealth of an orphan. Fleeing from the battlefield and slandering a chaste, innocent, believing woman. In other words, accusing an innocent, chaste woman, accusing her of zina. So this hadith mentions seven categories that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that these are the seven destructive sins that a person should remain away from, a person should refrain from. The first was shirk, associating partners with Allah Ta'ala. This is the worst form of sins. One who indulges in it will be doomed for in the fire of Jahannam forever. Very, very serious as shirk. Shirk, ascribing a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is black magic. According to Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi and other scholars, one who engages in black magic loses his iman. This is so serious to engage in black magic. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it is haram, forbidden to learn it. And one who does it will become a sinner. He won't lose his iman, but if he gets involved in it, he'll become a sinner. It's very serious. However, even according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, one who worships or honors another being besides Allah Ta'ala whilst engaging in black magic will become a disbeliever. Whilst engaging in this black magic, if he has to do this shirki amaliyat, these shirk actions, these actions where now he has to honor another being besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for those moments he has to worship another being, whilst doing it he will lose his iman, he'll become a disbeliever. The next category or the next sin that we did was killing a person unjustly. Now what is meant by killing a person justly? So in Sharia there are three reasons why another person can be killed. Ulama go on and they give the explanation that killing a person is only justified in Islam for three reasons. And that is not for any person. This is for the qazi to give the hukam, to give the verdict in a Islamic country for this to take place. For three reasons. One is punishment for adultery. You know the punishment for adultery? Is a person should be stoned to death. The second is for murder. A person committed murder, the punishment for murder is murder. Nafs for nafs. Life for life. And the third reason where in an Islamic country a person will be killed is for irtidad, for abandoning Islam. In other words, this person was a Muslim and he left Islam and went to kufr. He'll be given an opportunity to come back, and if he still refuses, then now the verdict will be given that this person must be killed. Number four was interest, sin of interest. Interest is strongly forbidden in the Quran Sharif in various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who consumes interest is like the one who commits incest with his mother. Person committing incest, adultery with his mother, person who commits interest, is like a person that is committing incest with his mother. With relevance to this chapter, the wealth of an orphan should never ever be usurped or consumed. The reason is that an orphan is young and weak and therefore requires assistance. To exploit the weakness for one's personal benefit is oppression. This is zulm. That the child now is young, he requires you as the guardian to look after that money, and now here you're taking that money and you're abusing it. And this is oppression. The next sin that we did was fleeing from the battlefield. When one is face to face with the enemy, now it is haram, it is prohibited for one to run away from there and flee from the enemy. What will happen to everyone else? All the other people, if some people just decide they want to run away, it will create a pandemonium and a panic. So therefore it is a guna, it is a sin to run away and flee from when a person is in front of the enemy. And the seventh thing, or the seventh sin, was slandering a chaste, innocent, believing woman having committed adultery. Accusing her of adultery, this is a major sin. It is also strongly condemned in the Quran Sharif. So we were explaining that there are some examples, just to mention one or two examples of our kabir, that how careful they were when they had the wealth of others, especially where public funds were involved, funds of other people were involved, they would be very, very careful, extremely careful. There was one pious muhtameen principal of a madrasa, that he was so careful that I mustn't take any personal benefit from the madrasa funds. In other words, the funds that are coming in, that I mustn't now take any of personal benefit and take money or take benefit for myself, to such an extent that when the madrasa jalsa would take place, he would make sure that the funds that would come in also were not funds that were used from the madrasa money for the food that was cooked. It was some other funds. But there also he was worried that it was other funds, but there also I mustn't take personal benefit. Now when it would come to taste the food, is the salt right? Is the taste right? Is the masala right? All those kind of things. Now the principal of this madrasa was so careful, he'll call one of the students, come here. You taste it and you tell me whether everything is right. If it was right, then he will pass it. Okay, now it's okay. This food is okay to be served. But he wouldn't even take that amount and put it in his mouth to taste that food. Why? I mustn't take any personal benefits from public funds. Allah Ta'ala give us also that tawfiq, that concern. When it comes to the wealth of others, we must be very careful. There was a great alim by the name of Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, very pious person. that he was going from Delhi to Kandla. He was going from Delhi to Kandla. And he had made a price with the, that time they used to use something known as a horse cart, or sometimes you'll get using a buffalo and a cart. In India, you still get it up till now, you'll see it, that people will use those carts, either pulled by a buffalo or it's pulled by a horse. So now he made a price with that rider of that buffalo or that ox cart. He made a price with the ox cart driver that this is how much goods I got here. You can see my goods. This is where I'm going from. This is where you're going to drop me off. So the price was made, everything. He was about to leave, and one person came with one envelope, small envelope with a letter inside. He said, please, you are going to Kandla. I need this to be delivered there to Kandla, this letter that I've got. Please deliver it. So he said, don't ask me whether I can take it. I already made a price with the driver that this is my goods, this is the price. Now you're giving me one item extra. You get permission from the driver, because now this is over and above what we agreed upon. Can you imagine? One letter, one envelope, over and above what we agreed upon. So therefore, look how careful they were, Hazrat Muzaffar, that we agreed on something. I don't want to abuse even 1 cent or 1 gram. I don't know how many grams is a letter, but I don't, those few grams also, I don't want to exceed the bounds as far as the rights of someone else is concerned. If you get permission from him, I'm glad to take it. But first you need to get permission from the ox cart driver. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq also when it comes to exceeding the bounds with other people's wealth, other people's time also, staff that are working with us, etc., other people's items that we may have in our possession. All these things are incorrect. We have to be very, very careful. Those people that are refined, they'll be extremely careful in everything they do. On one occasion, I went to visit our ustad as a mufti sahab in the madrasa. It was at night after maghrib. So we sat in the office, and there was a letter that I needed to read out to him. So before I could pull out the letter, he asked me, do we need this light on? The light was off. It was dark. He says, because if you're only going to speak, then there's no need to light for the light to be on. I understood, because the light is from madrasa funds, public funds. So if there's no need for the light to be on, then we'll speak in the dark. But if you got something to read, or if you need the light on, then we'll put the light on. I told him there is a letter to read. He said, okay, no problem. We'll put the light on. And then we spoke with the light on. But this is how careful you get. People who are refined, these things mean a lot to them. Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel, rahmatullahi alayhi, there are many, many incidents, inshallah. Some other time we'll explain that how careful they were when it came to public funds, how careful they were not to take 1 cent extra from the masjid funds, from the madrasa funds, etc. They would be very careful. So this is all part of our deen, where a person respects the wealth of others. He respects the wealth of the public. And here in the section we did, a person respects the wealth of the orphan also. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.